I'm thankful for this privilege being with these some of the best people on earth. I feel to be at home spiritually. I feel to be at rest with you precious loved ones. I have meditated upon the scripture that is on my mind this morning as traveled along alone. Yet, as I've often said, not alone. Only alone in a natural sense. But certainly not alone spiritually. And the more often I travel alone, naturally, I realize more spiritually God's precious presence. And as Brother Majors was so sweetly setting forth that beautiful subject of justification, my mind had been centered upon some of that. And the scripture that I will try to use will be found in Titus 3, 5, 7 included. Not knowing within myself whether I'll be able to set forth anything, but whatever may be, whatever results may be accomplished, if there are any accomplished results, we want to give God the praise. We want to glorify His name and wave the banner of Jesus. And anything that's said amiss, charge it to this unworthy servant that's trying to stand before you. And if I'm unable to stand before you, it'll be by the grace and mercy and strength of God. For within myself there dwelleth no good thing except that which God plants and elevates to the highest heights in this world, that is the love of Christ in my heart. So I trust that we may be able some this afternoon to meditate and speak upon the beautiful words that Paul set forth in the scripture. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior. Not that being justified by grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Elder Major so sweetly set forth the foundation and the fundamentals of the principles of Christ. And as I come before you this afternoon, I come just a poor country boy. Uneducated as far as this world's education and the wisdom of this world is concerned, just moderately so. Yet, if I'm unable to set forth any truths in this beautiful passage of Scripture that I've read, it'll be by the divine grace and mercy revealed by God the Father through Jesus to those who are like taught, and they are unable then to hear, to see and understand the beautiful truths of God's sweet love. So Paul here, in penning this beautiful scripture, says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us. So, brethren, it's according to His mercy He saved us. And if we're ever saved in heaven, in an eternal sense, it'll be according to His mercy. And if I am included in that number, it'll be by mercy. I have nothing to offer. There's nothing that I have to please. Simply to the cross I cling. But I do have this evidence within me that I love the brethren. I have a love for the people that love spiritual and divine things. And we do know that we have Scripture for that, a comfort to us to know that if we love the brethren, we pass from death unto life. Brethren, I know not about this concerning myself, but I know that I can see the evidences in you and your walk and your conversation and your life in this world has proven to me that you have passed from death unto life. We don't speak of this corporally, but spiritually. So it's not by works of righteousness which we have done. There's no way that we can bring ourselves in favor with God. We have nothing to please. God looked down upon us. No, not one. And as I traveled along this morning, pondering in my mind and wondering what to say, if I were called upon, I could see the birds as they flocked together, and as they zoomed here and zoomed there in perfect formation. Oh, so beautiful were those birds to me in perfect formation. Who taught them this formation? The same God that teaches us the spirit to worship in spirit and in truth. So man didn't teach those birds to fly in this perfect formation. They just seemed to be at perfect ease, flying here and flying there. God so arranged, way back before you and I were formed, before man was formed, before God breathed the breath of life into man, or raised him up from the dirt, the earth, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, he placed the birds and the animals, the trees and the mountains, and the beautiful scenery that we see today. And then he placed man. And this is a wonderful satisfaction to me to know that man can take no credit for any of this. And I'm so happy and so thankful that as I watched those birds as they traveled this morning at perfect ease, that God made them and that he caused them. And he's protecting them. And there's not a sparrow that falls that he doesn't know about it. And brethren, so it is with his children that he chose in that covenant. That great choosing, election. Back there before we were formed, there were a people selected. And oh, they are sweet people. We know not who they are. They're in every nation, kindred, tongue, and people. In every so-called denomination, in my services, brethren, we have all different denominations. We have Methodists, we have Catholics, we have Lutherans and Baptists. We have many different denominations that come and worship with us. I believe they're the children of God. Brethren, many of them misled by so-called doctrines of this world. But brethren, we can see the marks of grace in their fire. We can see that God has been with them and blessed them and made them to feel that it's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his grace, according to his mercy, he saved us. So if we're ever saved, it'll be according to mercy. You know, God placed the birds and all that we see around about us. And place man over them. So this earth, when it's engulfed, shall engulf all those things. But there's a home for man. He's placed his people. I'm speaking of his people. He's prepared a home for his people. He, Jesus, is now at the right hand of the throne of God, interceding for you. And as I come before you this morning, stripped of all my righteousness, all that I have, that I can cling to in this earth, as far as my aid is concerned, has been stripped. I had a precious companion. I still have one. But she's not in the capacity that she once was. She supported me many, many years. tried to encourage me to press on and to do the biddings of Christ. She spent many years working at that until I came to the point where I couldn't go any longer disobeying God's rules, God's commands and regulations, till I gave up and begged God for mercy. You know, He relieved me. He gave me a sweet hope. He gave me something to look forward to. And He stripped me of all earthly ties. And I believe today, as my companion lies motionless, not able to speak, not able to look out and visualize the things that we are capable of today, brethren, she is reconciled to God's will. She is at perfect ease, perfect contentment as far as I can see. And I believe she went into that condition with a prayer on her heart. And she told me the last word she says, all is well, all is well. Continue on, go to your meetings. For it matters not which way it goes with me. If it's God's will to restore me, I want to live. But if not, I want to go on to that home which God has prepared for me and all that love is appearing. You know, that gave me courage. And the very next Sunday, I was enabled to go to my meeting. And God blessed me, I believe, with the best liberty that I ever had. I feel that she's praying for me today. If she's able to think upon these things, she is praying today. I'm not here to preach my life, I want you to understand, brethren. But I'm here to bring to you the Spirit of God as it's revealed unto this servant. And I want to portray that to you, not some man. So it is not the works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us by the washing of regeneration. By the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. That is what God speaks to His people and causes them to cry out. Brother Major said this morning, Abba Father, they are regenerated people. God speaks to them in a still small voice and calls them to approach unto Him. You can't approach unto your God. You have no will. You have no ability to approach unto your God until He first takes up His abode in your heart. And when He does, brethren, you are a new creature, created in Christ Jesus, and Christ Jesus in your heart. Then you're able to act. You have life embedded in your bosom. Then you're able to listen and hear the sweet voice from above as it comes down oftentimes as a gentle rain upon the tender earth, tender grass. We think it's dead. We thought the land was parched this summer as we looked upon it so dry, just seeming like there's no life in the grass. But it wasn't long when the rains came that it came forth. Brethren, that grass wasn't dead, but it looked dead to us. It was not springing forth with that beauty, that bloom. But when the rain came down, oh, it revived that life that was there. Dead grass doesn't spring forth, but live grass springs forth when the rain comes. So it is with the children of God. When Jesus speaks unto that one and causes him to approach unto his God and say, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. Like the publican of old, that was not able even to smote his breast or lift his eyes to heaven, but he stood afar off. Isn't that your experience today? He stood afar off and said, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. Oh, he went to his house justified. Brethren, there's a justification that Brother Majors was so sweetly setting forth this morning. He went to his house justified rather than the other. Oh, that other was not the Spirit of God. That was the spirit of the Pharisee that stood up above head and shoulders of everyone else. And he said, what things he's done. Oh, brethren, I come before you this afternoon just wanting to be down there. I'm not worthy to stand up in this sacred spot where those old sacred servants of old have passed and stood and passed on. But I do know this, that the same Spirit that taught them to set forth these truths is the same powerful Spirit that will enable me, if by His grace to set forth the same truths. And it'll never grow old. Oh, it'll never grow old, and it's ever new. It's the same sweet old story. Salvation by grace and grace alone. That's eternal salvation I'm speaking of, brethren. I'm not speaking of your works. Oh, surely we need to do those works. But there's a time to start. We can't start working until we have life. And that grass that we saw in the summer was not able to spring forth until it had. Oh, that beautiful and sweet rain from above. But you know, life was there. It was encouraged by the rain. So we have the gospel today that brings us the glad tidings. It brings us the sweet news of a far-off country. And it comforts you, and it comforts me in my trying hours, brethren. Oh, Satan worked with me this morning just about as hard as he ever has. And he pointed out to me, your family is here, all the children that you have, and my little grandson. And now you're going off over 100 miles to be in a meeting. Oh, the temptation I had there, I wanted just according to nature, brethren. According to all natural rules and regulations, certainly I should have been at home. But you know, there's a Spirit that's greater than all other spirits. There's a Spirit of power of God that's greater than all natural times in this earth. And He's the one sets forth the Spirit that enables us to go on. So He even reconciled my children, and they encouraged me, come on, go on, take care of yourself, and be careful on the highway. Oh, this made me feel good. But you know, Satan wasn't through yet. As I got along the highway, just about halfway, I thought I had good tires on the car. One of them blew out. And I thought, now he's working again. But I'll try to keep on. I changed the tire, and it took me about 35 minutes. I tried to keep on, try to keep Satan in the rear, realizing that he was pressing me with all his power. I felt to see you better. I could see you with a spiritual eye. You gathered around this meeting house here, and I felt confident that my wife was in just as good a hands as she would be if I was there. And there's nothing that I can say now to comfort her. She's in God's hands. There's nothing that my children can say that will comfort her. She is in God's hands just the same today as she was back there when she was capable of traveling. And brethren, I'm thankful to God Almighty that we are not dependent upon each other in that sense, brethren. That is to attain our eternal salvation. But you know, we are depending upon each other for the encouragement. Oh, for the sweet words that we should have to encourage us. And as we think about this, we think about the letters and the cards that have been flowing into our household. My wife is not able to read them. She doesn't know anything about it. But brethren, I've received much comfort in these cards, in these letters, and the donations that have been coming in have encouraged me, brethren, to press on toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus, just to press on. And just this week I received a card and a letter from Brother and Sister Majors. They are so faithful, and they encourage me so much to press on. And I surely appreciate this. Many of you have expressed in your letters and cards the prayers that have been sent up. And brethren, we felt them. My wife expressed before she went to hospital the last time that she felt the prayers of God's people. And I believe she did. And she's resting peacefully and comfortably as far as I can see and the doctors can say. So now let us continue on unto perfection. Oh, brethren, there's no perfection here. There's no place that we can be satisfied. I'm just longing now to see my wife recognize me and hear her speak one more time. And you know, when that happens, I'll be satisfied. I'll want her to stand and walk a little bit. Oh, we're not satisfied. But there's coming a time, brethren, When we'll be satisfied. We'll not be satisfied on this side of Canaan shore. It'll be over there where pain and sorrow will be no more. It's not this side of that shore, brethren. So it's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy. He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. And now, by the washing of regeneration, we don't do the washing and we don't do the regenerating, brethren. That's all done by the same Spirit of God. And He quickens us into His life and gives us a spirit of worship. And so let's continue on. Which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior. Oh, He's not slack concerning His promises. And He sheds it upon us abundantly. And oh, we've rejoiced many times in the Savior's love and shed tears of love and joy. They weren't tears of sorrow. They were tears of joy because of the Spirit of God that has quickened us together and made us to sit together in heavenly places, rejoicing in this world. Oh, what a wonderful rejoicing this is. And so, which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior. That's how He shed it, through Jesus Christ. Not through each other, but He sheds it through Jesus Christ, our Savior and our Redeemer. And our mediator, that one that's now seated at the right hand of the Father. He lives and going to live forever. There's no ceasing with Him. There will be ceasing with us in this world. And when we pass out from this world, it'll only be the beginning. I'm not thinking of my wife dying. But I'm thinking of her passing out from this world and being relieved of all the suffering and all the sorrow and all the sadness that she's been through with. Oh, many times she's suffered. Many times she suffered that she didn't tell me about. But I knew it. When she passes, brethren, she'll leave all that here. And when Jesus comes to gather forth your sleeping dust, and if she's in that number, she'll be received and taken up, and she'll have no serious condition of brain tumor there. I want you to know, brethren, that body will be fashioned in the likeness of our Savior and be satisfied. And there'll be no sorrow, no sadness or sickness over there. And I'm confident, just as confident of the fact that I'm standing before you, that this is the truth. Oh, I wouldn't be in your presence this morning. I would be down there with my family and trying in every way to see an evidence that she may be here one more time. So we can't go on that way. We must press on. That being justified by His grace, we should be made heirs according to hope, to the hope of eternal life. We're heirs. And join ours with our Savior, Jesus Christ. So we have an heirship over there. And brethren, an heirship is not something that you work for yourself here in this life. That's an heirship that we're speaking about now is eternal. Now that heirship of eternal salvation is embedded in you for the hope of glory. Christ in you and you in Christ. And when He comes together forth, the sleeping dust. Oh, that spirit goes back to the giver. It doesn't go down there. But the body will go back to the dust. But when He comes together and forth, He'll raise this body and change it. It'll be the body. It'll be the same body, but it'll be changed in His fashion. It'll be in His likeness. And then it'll be satisfied. So these truths that we're trying to bring before you this afternoon are the same truths that were set forth when Jesus approached unto Peter on that great occasion and said, lovest thou me? Oh, yeah, lovest thou me? Yea, Lord, thou knowest I love thee. Feed my sheep and feed my lambs. There is the work for you to do. So on another occasion, when he approached unto him and said, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Some said, Peter was the spokesman there. Some said that thou art the prophet. And thou art Isaiah, and different ones. But whom do ye say that I, the Son of Man, am? Upon his approach, coming point blank to Peter and the apostles. Brethren, Peter was just a spokesman. But it applied to the apostles at that time. And it applies to the apostles, his call service today. brethren, just the same as it did on yesterday, and the days on gone by. But he's promised to house them safely some sweet day beyond this veil of tears. Brethren, that's my hope. That's the hope of my companion as she lies on the bed of affliction this day. And I hope it'll become my continued hope as long as God gives me strength to stand on these feet. I want to declare the unsearchable riches of Christ and declare to unto his people that nevertheless, regardless of what you may hear or what man may think, nevertheless, the foundation of God stands sure. And having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. So regardless of what takes place, the Lord knoweth, and they're sealed. Oh, I'm so glad they're sealed, because that takes all power from man. Man is not able to break that seal. There's only one in heaven, that Jesus is able to break that seal. And when he breaks that seal, we'll be around that throne of grace, and we will be seeing him in glory, and we shall ever be with him over there. So, brethren, I bid you farewell of the Lord. And when you have a mind to pray and thinking of the Lord spends his life, oh, please think of me. And remember that unless we continue on in this way, and unless we stand for the truths as set forth in this blessed book, we'll not have this peace and comfort. For God is not, he doesn't smile upon his disobedience, but I do know he smiles upon his obedience. And I do know something about his stripes and the stripes that are placed upon his by walking in disobedience. And I do know that he smiles and gives his approval when we're walking in the straight and narrow way. How can we do that? By exercising that faith that Brother Majors was telling you about. That justification that's given us, exercising it, putting it into action, walking in duty's pathway, and clasping the hands of those that are about us and raising them up when they're down in the valley and bringing about a oneness and a unity that we can see and we can realize then when the birds fly in formation, and we can think then that it takes the power of God to make us in formation. And these thoughts came to me some weeks ago when my wife was so ill. I thought about this. What more could one want than to have had? These words are still on my mind. I hope someday I'll be able to write something. What more could one want than to have had? That's my prayer, my hope. May God bless you.